Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you could have a superpower, what would that one superpower be?
Man, this is like a time machine.
Being invisible.
Is this time machine count?
Yeah, let's do it. We could build a time machine right here.
If I could just be like, I want to be in Florida right now, and then, boom, I'm in Florida.
That'd be more like a transporter. Like,
yeah, is that a superpower?
98.5, the Sports Hub. That we're Toucher and Rich, and that is Rob Gronkowski. By the way, I honestly think that Tom Brady was embarrassed by his performance in that golf tournament. Because he's, like, tweeting about it, and it's stuff that, like, it's supposed to be tongue-in-cheek. But if you're Tom Brady, and you did that poorly, and you ripped your pants, and you kind of made an ass of yourself, and you're that competitive and that kind of weird now, don't you think that would bother the hell out of you?
Yeah. There's part of that. I mean, I could see how it was tearing him apart, especially before he hit that amazing shot. He didn't say hardly anything up to that point. And you know it because it was just, he was biting his lip. He was pissed. Like, he didn't want to say anything, like, out of anger. But then he hits that one shot. And, like, if it wasn't for that one shot, Fred, think about where his mindset would have been at the end of that.
He would have thrown his clubs into water by hole 12 if he hadn't hit that shot.
And you know what? And I keep thinking about it. Like, you know, I can't tell whether that shot was worth it or not because it was unbelievable. And it was one of the best moments of the whole thing. I mean, it was a great shot. And when he said, suck that, Chuck, or whatever, that was an awesome moment. Because it was true, like, he was pissed at the world. And when that happened, he was like, finally! And it was like, F everyone. But you're right, if that moment would have happened, we might have seen, like, the slow, like, brain explosion of one Tom Brady, you know?
But it did happen, because first of all, it happened. I mean, he played exceptionally poorly. B, he was too chicken-ass to hit a driver off of anything, which I found hysterical, because he was embarrassed. Again, this is stuff I wouldn't go on TV and play golf under any circumstances, let alone for charity. Daddy needs his own cheddar. But I could make putts if Mickelson's telling me the way the grass is grained, the grain
in great
of the grass.
Detail, yeah, lasting 45 to 60 seconds each time.
Yeah, if he's giving me a minute of the way the grass is going and, you know, that you want to hit it here at this pace, I mean, I could make putts from there. But, yeah, and also, by the way, if you drive the green on a par 4, I think I'm okay.
But you know what the craziness about this is, Fred, is I agree with you. I think it is eating him up. But what makes that so odd is that I think it worked for him. I think that it helped his perception, like the way people think of Tom Brady. I think it made him seem a little more human and normal and less like a robot. And
what's it going to do for him? I mean, that's not the message he wants to put across.
It can help your brand. I mean, put it this way. He's tried to make himself more human over the past 3 years. He did this whole TV Times, you know, with like, hey, look, I got a sense of humor. I'm crazy. And he this whole Instagram thing and him joshing around. He has been – there's a concerted effort in the Tom Brady camp over the last couple of years to try to make him more relatable. You agree to that, right? This is something that he's been trying to do.
Yeah,
and him doing like the TV show, even though it was basically a rip on Robert Kraft. You know, I mean, like doing things like that, and like trying to appear where he looks like a normal person. He can kind of poke fun at himself, and I think that whether it drove him crazy or not, it actually worked for him. As a matter of fact, if you look at everyone, the four people who took place in that tournament, you know, there's certain people that I think like looked better, and certain people who actually it hurt them a little bit. I think that Brady it actually helped. Peyton it probably helped, even though it was corny, even though it started to kind of drive people crazy after a while. Mickelson just pisses you off. I don't. There's not much he can do that helps his persona. And Tiger Woods was just he does. And Tiger Woods just angry. But I think that Tom Brady, people are going to like him a little bit more after watching that tournament.
That's not his brand, though. His brand is not to be liked. His brand is to be a Superman.
But he wants it. But he wants that.
No, he doesn't. He wants to be known. Whatever sells his product, but the bottom line is, look at me. I defy all logic. I'm this machine. It's the way I live my life. It's this method of training and diet that I use. And then for him to go out... And just it's a matter of pride. I mean, you watched the Jordan documentary. I mean, these super highly alpha, super competitive guys don't like losing at anything. I mean, Rondo would beat kids at Connect Four because he couldn't stand losing.
I remember watching Isaiah Thomas when he was here. There was a kid from a charity who won an opportunity to play a video game against Isaiah on the Jumbotron before the game. And that would happen to be a game I was calling. Isaiah destroyed this kid. He was 8 years old in front of all of his friends. Yeah.
So regardless of how he came off or whatever, I mean, fine. But if you're hyper, hyper competitive, and he put some tweet out, which I think he actually wrote. And let me find this, if I may. I don't follow him on Twitter, but every time he tweets anything, everyone has an orgasm. Tom Brady, here we go, looking very sexy, picture with his family. He's like, next time I'll make sure I'm wearing at UA golf pants, lesson learned, and it's a picture of his pants ripping.
Yeah, and he goes, I didn't realize my pants were going to be social distanced, you know, like, hey.
Yeah, there's no way he liked that. And then pants, like he's a lot of pictures of his pants overcompensating. And then let me see here.
Of course, after he cracked that joke, the sky opened up. And
just let her cry.
Pretty good, Tom. That was a good dad joke.
Rich had the theory, and I believe in it, is the ghost of, not that he's dead, but a supernatural Hootie from Hootie the Blowfish came down and went, yeah.
That was a good dad joke.
Maybe he tore his pants and, like, snickered and, like, floated away. Maybe he's like, oh, he's gonna bend over, and he's like, and then the drummer went, ha ha, because his drummer has stringy hair.
That was
his
mischievous Hootie. That was mischievous. He like causes like mischief. He's like Puck from or whatever from Midsummer Night's Dream. He just shows up and causes all sorts of mischief.
He's got a Chester's cap on. Well, maybe the mischievous one is the guy is the drummer with the Hulk Hogan hair. Like the real stringy blonde hair. He's the mischievous one.
He comes out of the bushes and like he turns to the other three and goes, shh. And he goes over like.
And then Hootie's like with his back of his hands going, go, 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 go.
He goes, got it, he got it. And then they're all high fiving, we did it.
And then the other two guys are like, no one knows what we look like. I just like the drummer's head Hulk Hogan hair forever. And if you work in radio and you're friends with people in radio, they ultimately, at least five times a year, someone puts a picture of them up with Hootie the Blowfish. Because I think Hootie the Blowfish put the time in to go to every radio station several times.
Oh, yeah.
But Tom Brady put this up, and I do think that this is a sign of embarrassment. That it is, it's self-deprecating, but I don't look at him as that kind of person, and I might be overreaching here, but, you know, what else am I going to do? It says, congratulations, Tiger Woods and Peyton, for a hard-fought victory, and thanks to Phil Mickelson for coaching your boy and keeping us in it. Now back to my day job. And then with a wink, and I don't know why he's quite winking, but and then he said something about, you know, if you want to play me or play my sport.
Yeah.
But then he said, excited to announce the latest from TB12 products. Protect is our new immunity blend supplement created to support a healthy immune system by helping to help you stay strong. And it says, due to circumstances beyond our control related to COVID-19, orders containing this item may take an additional 3 to 5 business days to ship, which is very hard for me to come to grips with. Because that's exactly why I wanted is to fight off the COVID-19.
It makes it tougher, I know.
Wait, he took down the thing that he said. J.J. Watt said, that was fun. Thanks for the entertainment. And also the crew and staff working through all the weather. Good times and much-needed live competition for us all. All for a great cause. He says, well said, J.J. Thanks to all who made it today possible. Match part three. You and I square off in some Oklahoma drills.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I think that Hootie just got his arm around Brady, maybe in real life.
This is like a Hootie Palooza.
Hootie's just sitting with Tom with his arm around him.
What happens is Tom is sitting there at his computer and he's looking up. He's trying to figure out what to write. And all of a sudden, just this ghost comes outside of Tom Brady's body and pushes him aside. And he sits down in the chair, cracks his knuckles. And Hootie's the one doing the tweet.
Hootie's got it's like a Ouija board. And it's, by the way, Tom Brady with only 1.2 million followers.
He got on late, though. Like, he was a late Twitter bloomer,
yeah,
I think.
Because people are starting to get off Twitter, yeah. So, yeah, he is...
I think only, like, it was like a year and a half ago, and it was like, this thing on or whatever.
It was less than a year and a half ago, yeah.
Yeah.
And but Pasta Joe follows him, so he's got that going for him. Pasta Joe would tweet such as... nothing like a microwave cheese nachos.
I could use some pasta. Like, I mean, yeah, it's... Pasta Joe's weird. And then there'll be, like, a picture of him with, like, a celebrity. Like, what... For someone who's kind of...
Which celebrity?
It's always Sandy Duncan.
What celebrity is he tracking down?
He's, like, been in the background of, like, a bunch of movies. Like, he's been an extra in a bunch of films, which is
he
really
was in
weird.
Rhoda.
I got up around 10 a.m., ate a bowl of pasta.
You too, I know that.
You think life has changed all that much for him over the last couple of months?
Pasta.
I think so, probably.
I'm not sure.
He was one of the guys who goes, it's Maud. He was in the abortion episode of Maud. She's like having the conversation with her husband about getting the abortion, and Joe's just in back eating popcorn.
And cheese.
Joe was in the bike shop at Different Strokes. But the bike shop owner didn't want him. So Joe's just has his face in the window. He was friends with Dudley. All right. so I do think that bothered him. I do really do think that bothered him.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
All right.
As competitive as he is, you're probably right about that. And you're right. There does seem to be a little bit of Twitter overcompensation. And my old thing is that he shouldn't be worried because in the end, I think it actually benefited him. I think it benefited him in the end.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he wants to be Superman. All right. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have a man by name of Keith Smith. He is the Disney worker who knew about the NBA, or I don't know if he knew or suggested.
No, he was the guy who originally suggested it, and it was an article that he wrote for Yahoo, and it got so popular that I believe this was the reason that the NBA is going to Disney because of what he wrote.
Can we get Dan Roach on a line? Would it be possible to get Dan Roach on a line? Because that would be, the two of them just, or having Crash on. I mean, one of them would be fine stuff. All right, so we'll have him on in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Tutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Tutcher and Rich. And I will tell you this, is that we are joined by Keith Smith. He writes for Yahoo. He is joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Smith, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Well, I am fine, but you, sir, are a national hero and a hero to many. As you are a man with great knowledge of both the NBA and of the world of Walt Disney. Now, tell us about your relationship with the Disney Corporation.
Sure, yeah. I worked for Disney for nearly 20 years. I started with them in college as an intern and finished up school back in Massachusetts where I'm from, and then came back down here right after school, and then had never left until 3 weeks before the pandemic shut down the NBA season is when I said, you know what, it's now or never. Let's make this jump and cover the NBA full time. So my timing is nothing if not impeccable.
Okay, so what did you do for Disney during your 20 years?
Yeah, the vast majority of my time was spent in backstage administrative roles, human resources type of work, hiring people, scheduling, training, the like. Walt Disney World has over 80,000 cast members that work here. They're the largest single-site employer in the United States. So there's a lot of work that needs to happen for people you never see, and I was one of those people. But my first job ever with Disney was I was a train conductor on the Walt Disney World Railroad at the Magic Kingdom. So that sounds a lot more fun, so I like to throw that one in there too.
How creepy is that? Like Disney World's cool and everything, but like after hours would seem incredibly creepy to me. I don't know why, but it just
all the animatronics come to life, Fred.
I don't know what it is, but it's always because like when a ride breaks down, it's like so creepy. like is it? What's it like there when everyone's gone and it's just empty and like you can go into this stuff? Did you go into rides like when they were shut down and everything?
I've been on tours of different rides, sure. I've been in them with all the lights on or, everything's, kind of stopped and not running and that. And you're right, it's a little creepy. It's a little eerie. It's a lot like the property right now, quite frankly. Driving through the property is like one of those old Life After People episodes. Like, it's just empty and you don't see anybody. There's no cars or anything. But, yeah, it's a little creepy or eerie. I guess that's a good way to put it.
All right, so there was – it was funny how this – all we found out about the whole Disney and NBA deal about a month ago, and I may have the time off a little bit. John Wallach, who's on the show, just texted me and goes, hey, there's this kind of crazy article that was thrown out there by Yahoo. It's a guy named Keith Smith, and he says that Disney would be the best place for the NBA to finish their season. And after reading it
– It made a lot of sense.
It actually made a lot
of
sense.
Because
the first reaction is like, Disney, what the hell are you talking about? Were you – okay, were you the first one to propose this? Is it like a chicken and egg type deal? Were you the first one to propose this, and because of your article, the NBA found out about it, or was it a different way?
Here's what I know. I know the NBA has contingency plans for a team if for some reason they couldn't return, and they've got a lot of different things worked out. Most of those involve relocating that team to a college town where they could use some of the college facilities. But and I've heard maybe Disney was talked in the past, but never the entire league. And for me, as we got into the single site idea, it started turning into, Las Vegas, Las Vegas, Las Vegas. I've been there a bunch of years running for Summer League. It's a great venue, but it's a real city. It's a public city. It's going to be hard to shut down. And the more I get thinking about it, I was like, Disney makes as much sense, if not more sense, than a lot of these places for their thing. So I believe I was the first one to publicly put the idea on paper and get it out to the world. And we did hear from the NBA that same day with a simple note that said, thank you for a thoughtful and thorough article. And that was the extent of it from there.
Oh, wow. Okay, so tell me, for the people who don't really know, because we're even learning about this, until your article, I don't think any people really had any kind of idea that they would have the type of facilities that you could have all of these teams come there and be able to play, especially just basketball-specific facilities. Can you kind of paint a picture as what they would be able to use and what they have available if there were the playoffs there?
Sure, yeah. I think when you come here on vacation, you drop your bags in your hotel, you run off, you spend your week in the theme parks, and you go home tired and poor. That's the intent, right? As that's how you leave. With the basketball facilities, the only reason you would really know about the ESPN Live World of Sports Complex is if you had been there for some reason. What they can feature is they have three arenas that they have right on that property. That property is over 200 acres large, just for a frame of reference of how big it is. But three indoor arenas. The first is the HP Fieldhouse. That hosts a major college basketball tournament every year over Thanksgiving week. It's Division I tournament. That arena is akin to a high-level mid-major arena. That's what it looks like. That, I assume, would become the primary game court. It doesn't matter how many seats you have in there because there's not going to be any fans. So that part doesn't matter. Then I think the next arena that they use is aptly called the arena. It doesn't have a sponsor to it yet. I think that might get rectified here in the next month or so. But I think that arena can be set up to house three courts or one court arena style. So I think that becomes your second game court. And then the last indoor facility is called the Visa Center. I liken it akin to an airplane hangar. It's this big, wide open space. I've been in there where they've had as many as 12 to 15 courts set up for the Junior NBA World Championships in the AAU Nationals. And that can be set up, I think they would set that up with five or six courts, and that becomes your primary practice court for the teams.
Now what about the ability for all these guys? I mean, there's so many hotels there, we know that. And actually, from your crack reporting, once again, you saw that Coronado Springs, which I believe is massive, right? Isn't that like the one hotel that's used mostly for conventions? That has been cordoned off, right, for the period of time that more than likely
July,
the NBA playoffs would be?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. For the month of July, it is the one place you can't book right now. So it is it is the one spot you can't go on and book. It's completely out of inventory. So I think as you look at the Coronado Springs Resort, you're absolutely right. It is the primary convention hotel. Right around a year ago, Disney opened a big tower. It's called the Grandestino Tower, which is part of the Coronado Springs Resort, which rivals really anything in the high-end convention business. It's absolutely gorgeous. They also went through and redid all of the rooms in the other. It is the rest of the resort is set up campus style with smaller buildings spread all throughout this big campus, all around a giant lake that's self-contained within the middle of the resort. And then you have over 220 square feet of convention space, which I would assume would be converted into meeting rooms, film rooms, maybe dining facilities, potentially work, not basketball workouts, but weightlifting and anything like that that they need. It's starting to look like that could be the spot for the NBA.
How difficult would it be if Disney opens up? Because I know today's a big day. They're apparently doing a proposal and, trying to figure out how they're going to get started back. But if by the time NBA starts, more than likely Disney will probably be back open. How tough is it to, the way everything is set up, keep the players completely separate from all of the guests at Walt Disney World?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that tough. I would kind of flip it back to what we started with is, you came here before on vacation, you didn't know the sports complex existed. That gives you a sense of how far it's set apart from everything else. If you ever look at a property map, sports complex is on the extreme south end of the property. By all accounts, it sounds like when Disney reopens, it'll be a slow phased reopen. It's probably not going to be all four theme parks immediately reopen. There's just not going to be the guest volume for that. And Disney safety is paramount for them in all things that they do. So they're going to take a slow approach to reopening. So it's likely to be the Magic Kingdom that opens first, which is on the extreme north end of property. They're nowhere really close to each other. I live closer to the Magic Kingdom in the sports complex on the south end. It's about a 20-minute to 25-minute car ride with no traffic. From there. So they're pretty well isolated. And sports complex has, I'd say it's roughly maybe a quarter mile driveway down into the sports complex. So they're going to set up security right at the end of that thing. And no one who doesn't need to be near there is getting near there. And that'll be the same for whatever resort the players are at.
All Keith, right, let me hold on one question. Keith, suppose the NBA and Walt Disney World say, okay, we have a deal. Go. How long will it take for Disney to get ready to accommodate everyone, and how much of an inconvenience will it be for the workers when they're trying to open up other things?
Yeah, it'll be roughly take 2 weeks to get everybody back to work. Well, right now, Disney has tens of thousands. It's, probably 60, 70,000 folks who are out of work. They're on furlough right now. The property with over 80,000 cast members, the vast majority of them are on furlough, so they would be recalling. I do know they've already begun the process of recalling some folks more on the project management side, and the assumption is that that's to work on this deal with the NBA and potentially with the MLS as well. So it would take them about 2 weeks, but it sounds like the NBA's plan is get everybody back into their home markets, do a two-week training camp if at all possible. But I've been assured by folks with Disney, whenever the NBA tells them they need to be ready, they'll be ready. And Disney is nothing if not great about throwing things together as quick as needs be and being ready for big amounts of people to show up at the property.
Okay, you know better than anybody how protective Disney is of their image. What do you think is going to happen if the NBA ends up getting all eyes are obviously going to be on the playoffs? Let's say a major player, LeBron James, ends up contracting the coronavirus, or maybe even an entire team becomes infected, which it doesn't seem like this would happen, but it could, where an entire team would have to quarantine and things would have to be put on hold. This would be a major news story. How do you believe someone like Disney, or do you believe they're ready to handle something like that? And are you shocked that they're allowing this to come in and potentially have the ability to self-destruct?
Sure. To answer the first part, is that that's going to have to be a discussion point. I assume it already has been with the NBA and Disney of how do we handle this? How do we handle the messaging around it? And I expect, because it's the way these things do it, they'll focus more on the it versus how did it happen. This is what we're doing now, and this is how the care of that individual or those individuals is going to be moving forward. That's just my assumption of how it'll go. I think back to Rudy Gobert gets sick. Nobody talked much about how he got sick. Everybody talked about what happened after they found out he got sick. And I would expect that would be the same. As far as Disney, in taking that, it is a risk. That's definitely true. It's a risk for the NBA as well. But I think both parties involved believe here, we can do this. We can get people there as long as they're safe and healthy when we get them there. We can keep them safe and healthy. That's I don't think that they're overly worried about that. And I think for Disney, this becomes a major commercial for them of, yes, hey, it was good enough for the NBA. Come here. There's one thing that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about. 2021 was shaping up to be a massive year for Walt Disney World. It's their 50th anniversary of being open here in Florida. And they were really going to start cranking up the marketing machine here pretty soon. You were going to start seeing a lot of, come to Disney for the 50th anniversary and those things. Well, this is an opportunity to have roughly a 2-month commercial that runs, that is, come to Disney, and they can get that marketing moving and get people excited to return to Walt Disney World when people are ready to do so.
And how perfect is it that it's ABC Playoffs, ESPN, and it's the Disney Corporation? It's like it just all fits together like a puzzle.
You don't think that had something to do with it?
Positives far outweigh the negatives. I mean, even if someone was to get, even if LeBron got the coronavirus, the positives of Disney doing this and just.
There's no question. It's
no,
it's,
no,
it's
because.
Perfect.
Also, if I could interject, if I may, just the idea of something starting again, I think far outweighs any of the danger of, or any of the backlash that would happen if someone got the coronavirus. I think people appreciate so much just some sort of, adaptive normalcy returning, that it far outweighs any negative consequence that could happen. Even if a star player got coronavirus, I think that it far outweighs that. You ever been there to Rollins College?
Yeah, I've been over to Rollins several times. Yep,
I went there.
Oh wow, yeah, that's awesome. Cars, right?
Yeah, you got that right, Jack. You got that right. Yeah, you got that right. Now, you've probably been to more games there than I have, because I've never been to a sporting event there. But nonetheless, I was there. All right. Well, sir, interesting stuff. Congratulations on becoming a tastemaker, a mover shaker, headline maker. Keith Smith from Yahoo. This is exciting times. And thank you. And if you ever have a chance, email us some weird pictures from Disneyland After Dark.
Sure. Yeah. If they let me back in, people keep saying they need to bring you back. And I keep telling them, I think they've got tens of thousands of people to get back to work before the guy who quit the company. So
listen, VIPs get in whenever they want, baby. They get right past that velvet rope. All right. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Y'all stay safe, you and yours.
All right. You do the same. All right. We'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich. This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody's going to be looking at us, especially college football and pro football. They're going to be watching us with a fine-tooth comb, seeing how we react to every situation. You know, I told the guys, man, I don't know if we should play because I don't know how safe. Because I would hate to see, number one, any of my players get sick. But I would hate to see a guy get his wife or girlfriend or his kids sick. I think that would be catastrophic for sports and the NBA. Man, we're going to play, and it's going to be a crapshoot.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. I take it that was the great Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley, who, by the way, was such a hit during the match. They were thinking about next time they do something like that, having him actually be one of the participants in the match.
Why? Because he's not good.
Nope. It'll give you good content for 4 hours.
Yeah, he's got a bad swing. You know what got old very quickly is when he did the thing with Tiger's old swing coach, and you could tell halfway through it he was over it. Going hitting balls for 6 hours a day, we didn't really agree with him, I don't think it would for most people. But as we just heard, the NBA going to Orlando, the NBA getting its stuff together, I think that by far the positives outweigh the possible negatives. I think even if a star did get coronavirus, that just the very idea that they put it together and got something. First of all, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think there's any way that that's going to happen. I think that you're more likely getting coronavirus in your backyard than you are if you're an NBA player at that point. They're going to have people tested so much. But I just think any sense of even an abstract normalcy that an organization does. I mean, when people are sitting down and watching a 4.5-hour amateur match between four guys and then speaking highly about it, and I didn't mind it. I just don't know how anyone sat through the whole thing. I thought it was fine. But that if you're the NBA or any sport that comes back, Major League Baseball, that you are going to look like heroes and your ratings are going to be through the effing roof. And Major League Baseball, if you don't know that, your regular season games that are usually, a rerun of The Office usually beats would be must-watch television for people.
Baseball's about to blow it because if they drag their feet long enough, they're going to go up against the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs.
And they have such an opportunity to be the first sport back. Oh, my God. It is a golden chance. And, Fred, you hit it right on the head. Major League Baseball is background noise for most of the season. You flip it on and you keep it on for a while, but you really don't pay attention. people will pay attention if you play games starting July 4th because you're at least two or 3 weeks ahead of everybody else.
I think they can. But I disagree. I think that the way that the owners did it as a original revisit to the contract was brilliant, is because they're going to have the have-nots want their money, and it's down to a vote. I mean, Bryce Harper's vote isn't any more powerful than, you know, Bader's vote, center fielder for the Cardinals. So, I mean, if you have the haves and have-nots, the have-nots are the majority, and that means the season's going to happen.
Well, it sounds like to me that all three more than likely will start around the same time. And if your choice for your television watching hours are going to be between two teams in the playoffs and one team that is risking scaring away its biggest players that's already having a hard time getting ratings, then Major League Baseball is going to be way behind.
I'd rather watch the Cardinals than a game I had no of basketball game.
Is it a playoff game? If it's a playoff game, I disagree.
See, no, yeah. I'd rather watch the team.
That includes the Red Sox, who, by the way, aren't supposed to do much of anything this year. Let's not forget about that. They're not supposed to contend for anything this year. If it's a playoff Celtic or a playoff Bruin or even a playoff LA Clippers or playoff whatever, you know, playoff Montreal Canadiens game against Pittsburgh, I'll watch that over the Red Sox.
But let's get to the NBA real quick because, you know, we just had Keith
Probably
Smith
would.
On. Talking about
probably
that.
Would jerk. Probably would make you happy, wouldn't it? Just call yourself a stitch head. But you're not.
Seam head.
I call them stitches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I call them as I see them. And I see you as a poser, jabroni.
Of course.
Fake stitch head.
Duly noted.
Yep. You got that right, Jack.
Well, Brian Windhorst, of course, because he's still there.
You know,
talking.
He played the game.
He
was a very good player.
he was a point guard. But he a report from ESPN's Windhorst.
A big body in the paint.
He said that when this all gets started, first of all, you know, the whole deal with the NHL and why they're starting with 24 teams the way they're doing it, you know, there's all these different weird justifications. I wish they would just come with 16 and just start. But needless to say, the NBA is saying we are going to start with 16, but for some strange reason, according to Brian Windhorst, they want to have a seeding that would work like 16 teams. And it would be 1 through 16 rather than the conferences being split up per usual. So it would just be your best 16 records, both conferences mixed up, and then you would start the bracket. Now, I don't know who gets screwed there because, you know, if you were a team that was the 8th seed but you weren't the 16th best team in the league, if you were in one, I haven't taken a look. But I do know that it makes matchups interesting. As a matter of fact, if things were to start right now and there was no regular season, whatever, it would start off with the Celtics, who are the 5 seed, versus the 76ers,
again,
who are the 12 seed.
Who you were going to play anyway
first
round of the playoffs.
But what makes it wild is that more than likely, if the Celtics move on, they'd play the Clippers in the second round. I mean, you would go Celtics, 76ers, to Clippers immediately after that, which, by the way, I love it, but it's awful for the Celtics. I don't know why
Milwaukee
they're doing it.
Milwaukee after that, yeah, that would be good.
Well, I mean, you could realistically have a playoffs that was the Lakers versus the Clippers, two Western Conference teams going at it, you know, back and forth. I mean, that would be insane. To be quite honest, as I said, I love any kind of thing that shakes things up like this way, but it's just bad news for the Celtics all around. I'm not even sure why they're doing that, and maybe it's because they're looking at this, and they don't want the Bucks, a team that's way in the middle of nowhere, you know, with maybe not the biggest fan base, to be in the finals. You know, instead, maybe they'd rather have it be, you know, the clash of L.A., the battle for L.A., where you end up getting Kawhi Leonard versus LeBron James. I'm not sure why they're doing it, but it seems kind of interesting. And right now, that is what's rumored to be the way that it's going to roll.
Did you see Mark Cuban's plan? to get back to, get back to play. And
it's complicated, isn't it?
No, it is. It's very complicated. But here's the thing. I mean, if you actually come back in Orlando and say, we want to play at least five regular season games, there are going to be a lot of players, especially on teams that have no shot, saying, I'm not playing. Damian Lillard said this yesterday. Yeah. I'm not playing if we're going to do this. So Mark Cuban's plan is an elaborate play-in tournament for the bottom two or three seeds in each conference. I wouldn't be against that because it keeps everyone engaged.
No. Why? How many games in the regular season were left anyway? Like 12?
A little more. Over 15.
If I'm a star, I'm not 15. Playing.
The season's over. Like, the season is over. Just start the playoffs with where things are supposed to be. Why is it that hard? And why are we giving these teams, like, as you said, at the bottom, like some of the worst teams in the league, why are you giving them a shot? They didn't earn that. And that would piss me off if I was an 8 seed. Listen, you may not be great, but you were at least better than all these other crap teams that were behind you consistently.
If you're Portland and you're New Orleans, who, by the way, the NBA should want in the playoffs. If you're Portland and you're New Orleans, you're about 3 or 4 games out with 18 games to play in the regular season. You can make an argument, especially New Orleans, you can make an argument you would have chased down Memphis for that last seed.
Sorry. Crap happens. A pandemic was thrown upon everybody. There were 15 games left. You just got to cut them off. I mean, I understand what you're saying, John, about, you know, there should be some good basketball before the actual playoffs start. But, you know, if it means, like, blowing the way that things are set up and, like, screwing these 7 and 8 seeds and, like, letting somebody, as you said, in the very bottom, undeservedly get into it, because there's going to be weirdness when this all starts. There's going to be some random 7 seed that just because of the way that their youth or the way that they're constituted, they're going to come up. You've seen it happen. Seasons sometime begin and some team out of nowhere is killing it at the beginning of the season.
It happens and a lot. It happens all the time. It's happened a handful of times.
So you almost want to prevent that from happening. Like there being like some team that's at the bottom who just ends up getting hot because they have fresh legs or something like that, and then they get into the tournament over a team that's more deserving. So
it just sounds to me, however, that the NBA is built to play these games. The NHL, I don't know how many rinks are in Columbus or in Las Vegas, but the NBA looks like they have enough room to handle multiple games at once, 3 games on a court, practice facilities. They could probably handle a little bit of a regular season.
Yeah, but again, if I'm a star player and my team has basically no chance, why am I even going to go through the rigmarole to do it? I mean, it's just doing it for no reason. So I think Mark Cuban, that's more of a financial incentive than anything else that he's trying to get across there. So it should be interesting. As the Magic Kingdom, because the magic land of swishes, as the ball goes through the cylinder and down through the net, swish. And the crowd says swish.
Speaking of that, Fred, if you want to see those creepy pictures of all of the rides when they're off, there is a TV show on Disney Plus called The Imagineering Story, and it's the making of all of those rides. And it's
like,
got
even the old ones?
Oh, yeah. Like from It's a Small World to Peter Pan to Pirates.
Get me away from both of those.
Pirates of the Caribbean is the creepiest one because it just has like their faces being molded onto it in the dark. They're all standing there moving all dead-eyed. Oh, it's awesome. You got to watch that show. Like the first 2 episodes are all about those old school rides, and it is nightmarish.
What is the, like, do they do Snow White when it was like super creepy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Snow White's Scary Adventures. They had to change the name because you would go in there and go, oh, my God. Like, there's almost no dwarfs. It's all witches just jumping out at you.
What the hell were they thinking?
Well, they were thinking, they explained it. They said they wanted the ride to be from Snow White's perspective, like her adventure through the woods and how, like, she's got to get by to save the whatever. And they didn't tell any kids that. They thought it was just going to be, hey, here's the dwarves dancing around and having fun. And instead, they went there and kids were crying at the end of the ride.
Yeah, like, well, no, it freaked the hell out of me. Like, why did they feel that that had to happen?
Well, they changed it because now
it didn't change it in the 80s.
No. It's new. Like, Disney World got rid of the ride, and they opened up a new Snow White ride, and now it's all fun and games with dwarves dancing around.
I still wouldn't go on it. I still would just, I was like, you guys go on it. I'm not getting on that thing.
Well, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is still in Disneyland. They got rid of it at Disney World, and that's the best.
That was my favorite ride.
Oh, yeah. It's about a frog that gets drunk and smashes into a train after running through a bar, like dramming his car through a bar, and at the end, you go to hell.
Yes.
The final thing is you hit a train, and this giant devil comes out and starts dancing because you're in hell for drinking and driving.
But that never scared me. So the lady popping out there, that witch... That's not right for kids to see. I blame that on a lot of my chemical issues. Not chemical issues, but a lot of my psychological issues that I have is based on that. All right. We will be back in just a moment.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.